How are y'all doing? You good? I feel like we're really spread out. Okay, well, I have a short message. I think it's short. I've been really praying about the next several messages, you know, before we will take a break for Christmas or whatever, and the Lord's kind of given me vision for what we'll go into in January and February and stuff. But I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want to say? You know, and so he's so good. But I always have to kind of filter through what he's telling me is like, okay, I need to hear it for me first, right? Like, I'll say it this way. It is not uncommon for me to go, okay, God, that's really good. Let me go and share that. Okay, like as soon as I learn something, as soon as I get revelation, as soon as I hear something like, oh, that's really good, I need to go share that. You know what I mean? Like that's just kind of how I'm wired or whatever. But the Lord's been teaching me to really steward the stuff he gives me and to make sure that I'm really applying it to myself, to really take a look, doing inventory in my own heart and my own stuff. And especially as I've just been praying about this season, and you know, the holidays are amazing and they're wonderful and I love them, and I'm so glad we didn't go anywhere for Thanksgiving. We totally chilled out here. We staycation, which is good. So I'm thankful for that. But I also know that the holidays can be really hard too, you know, and this is my busy season, you know, as a counselor. And so just been really in lots of prayer. And the thing that the Lord highlighted to me, I'm just going to read. We're going to read out of Ephesians first. Let's just start there. Come, Holy Spirit. We're going to read out of Ephesians 3. Trying to decide where. Maybe the whole chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And I'll probably skip over a few of the parentheses, but I'll try to read through most of it. For this reason, because I preached that you are thus built up together, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus the Christ for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, his unmerited favor, that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit, and that the mystery or the secret was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation, as I briefly wrote to you. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in past generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, those consecrated messengers and prophets by the Holy Spirit. That's a highlightable verse. I'm going to repeat it. This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in past generation, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, consecrated messengers and prophets by the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about fivefold ministry there, y'all. I don't think. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body and joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise in Christ through their acceptance of the glad tidings of the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's free grace, its undeserved favor, which was bestowed upon me by the exercise, the working in all of its effectiveness of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all of the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Also, to enlighten all men and make plain to them What is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men, of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now? Underline those two words. In the mind of God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety in innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. I'm going to repeat verse 10 again. No, actually 9 and 10. Also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men, of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now. In the mind of God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known. Now be made known. Now be made known. To the who? Angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. Y'all catch that? This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried, past tense, realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, meaning it's finished. In whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, the courage and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I'm suffering on your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is an honor to you. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you're built together in Christ, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on the earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. Underline those. By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling in your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. Here's dwell. Settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and found securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love is what he's talking about. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know, here's to know, to practically through experience yourselves, not just by stories. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. So mere knowledge is information, not revelation encounter. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence, with a capital P, and become a body wholly, wholly meaning W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, completely, holy and flooded with God himself. Come on, that's good. Now, to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, I like that in this translation, and to do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. That's a good word. Now, we could be done just there. Close the book, drop the mic, walk home. You know, that's just, right? You know, when people always tell you, like, if you're stranded on an island and you could only have one book of the Bible, what would it be? Ephesians might be it for me. I don't know. That's a hard one. But here's what's been stirring in me. Several of those verses I asked you to go back and kind of underline and highlight. It is vitally important that we not lose heart. Verse 3:13. And I know he's talking about what he's suffering in our behalf, but glory in it. But I don't think it's just about Paul's suffering. I think we can apply that to our own. You know, when we're going through struggle and going through stuff, we can't lose heart. We have to be able to read everything else in the scripture. Like, what is the very will of God here? For this reason, right? For this reason, that we may be strengthened and reinforced with a mighty power in our inner man, that we may be rooted and grounded, found securely in love, that we may have power to know by experience his love and the fullness of God. But I love that twice he mentions the church. And y'all, there's something about the difference between churchianity and Christianity. You hear what I'm saying? Now, please hear me. I want to be really careful. Because when I talk about a religious spirit or talk about coming against the religious spirit, you know, any spirit other than Christ's spirit is the antichrist spirit, okay? But I want to be really careful because it's really easy for us to get into judgment. Are you hearing me? When we start thinking about those places that we have been to where we know that the spirit of religion is there or in operation, or even churches that we grew up in, honestly, it's very difficult. One of my prayers as a parent is, how do I, especially having dragged my kids to church since birth, right, and even in the womb, you know, because I wasn't raised that. I mean, I came to the Lord at 9 years old. Don't get me wrong, but I wasn't drug every place, you know, and I use the word drug on purpose because they've been drug, you know, when they didn't want to go at times. And so my prayer has been, God, help me know how to parent my kids so that they love you and love the church and not get a religious spirit. Like, I just don't know how you do it. Like, I don't know how you know, on some level, because it's there, right? And we're humans. Humans are in the church building, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be there. So, but I want to be careful because oftentimes when we talk about this, I've discerned that sometimes the very spirit we're talking about is the very spirit that gets us to start judging those people that have a religious spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, let's not do that, okay? We got to get out of judgment because that's the very root of a religious spirit is judgment. You're not good enough or whatever that is. Like, I always tell people in our human nature, and our fallen nature is our human nature, okay? In our human nature, our fallen nature, we all have that not good enough button we're born with. We were born, remember, after the fall, separated from the Father because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We were never supposed to eat from that tree. Do y'all get that? Let's think about it, okay? Adam and Eve in paradise, naked was not bad, okay? Just means they weren't clothed. But they were completely intimate and open with the Lord. Nothing in between them and the Father, day and night walking in the garden in intimate relationship with him and with one another. And because of the fall, because of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, brought about the experience of good and evil instead of just good. Instead of just God. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it separated them. When they ate of that, they began, what did they get? They knew judgment. There was no judgment before then. So that's when judgment came. Do you hear what I'm saying? They were able to now judge by the knowledge of good and evil to begin to judge what's good and what's evil. Well, who said what's good and what's evil? Who gets to decide that? Do you hear what I'm saying? Other than all they knew was God. And that God was good and they were good and all everything was good. Until the enemy came. And then with that judgment brought shame, fear, and separation with intimacy from the Father. They forgot on some level or was able to judge even God not always being good. It wasn't there before then. He was always good, because that's who he is. But then came the ability to decide because of that separation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay? So it disconnected them how? Not by experience, but by false knowledge. Because then they began to judge. Okay? So they began to judge then good and evil. So then they decided to judge God as evil in some capacity or they wouldn't have hid. They wouldn't have hid from him. They then now were afraid of him. They were never afraid before. There was no fear. There's no fear in heaven. There was no fear in paradise. There was no fear. So then after fear separated them and they went to hide because they were afraid, what else came? Shame. Shame speaks to unworthiness. So now they had the ability to judge themselves as not good enough. That's where that not good enough button is about, right? And we all get that one pushed every now and then. Why? Because we're born with it now. Because we're born into a sinful state. We're born into the capacity to have that knowledge of good and evil now. So everything about our encounter with God is super important because we have to regain the ability to know that he's good all the time by encounter and experience with his presence with a capital P, like it said in here. We can't just know that God is good by information. We have to encounter. And it's just like as I read through this, I read it intentionally and slowly, and I wasn't sure if I was going to read the whole chapter, but I felt like I was supposed to. But I specifically highlighted a few of those verses to underline because those are places like when I read the word, I read it just like I read it to you slowly. And then, but I actually would stop in some of those verses that kind of stuck out at me. And I was like, ooh, okay, I'm going to have to sit on that one for a minute. Right? Like, so having to, like in, where is it? In 9 and 10. Also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan. He wants to make it plain. He's not trying to be complicated. Even though in another verse it talks about His wisdom is complicated, like, you know, it is. But he wants to make it plain because he wants that intimacy with us. He wants us to know him. And it's like as we were singing, I've never felt that with Closer when we did the Closer song. You know, I've said before, like with Beautiful One, I love that song. I mean, like we've done that one, and I think that, and then there's another one, you know, where he, You're the One That Really Matters. Those are a couple of songs that we've done before, but I was like, ooh, I feel the Father singing that back to us, you know? That's the first time that's happened, and I love it, because I'm like, thank you, God, another song that I can hear you singing over me. So now every time I get that, like, there's this exchange, you know, of love where I'm pouring out my worship to the Lord, and he is singing over us. You hear what I'm saying? That he speaks our identity. That's prophecy. Right? He speaks who we are and tells us who we are, our value and our worth. And so when we were separated, though, back to the garden, you know, when they were separated and then shame came, where they covered themselves were not, I mean, they didn't have helmets made of leaves and like shoulder pads and knee pads, you know, like what did they cover? They covered their intimate private places. We call them private now, but they weren't private before. But these are their intimate places. These were the places of connection and unity that he made holy between husband and wife. It was an intimate place, a connection where you would know. When it talks about Adam knew Eve, they're talking physical, emotional, spiritual knowing, to know one another, okay? Every aspect. That's what that word means, to really know completely. And so, when we look at, where's that verse? Sorry, I'm scanning because I have a whole lot of these highlighted. It's the one with the capital P, presence. I'm looking for the one. Well, I can't find it now. I have too many black marks in this chapter. But he's talking about just knowing the presence, right? That we have to be able to encounter and to know his presence with a capital P. That's what he's saying, like him as a person, to be able to encounter him. And I felt like the Lord, even as we were doing worship, when he was saying in that song, draw me a little closer, you know, it's like our hearts cry to him. You know, it's that verse that says, deep calls unto deep, you know? That he is so excited about us. He is so excited and so longing. You know, in that song, as I was hearing him sing it back over us, he was like, you know, draw me a little deeper. You know, I want to know your heart because your love is sweeter than anything I've ever tasted. You know, that reminds me of a verse in Song of Solomon where it says, with one glance of your eye, like his heart skips a beat, you know? Like he was ravished, that's the word. He's ravished with one look of your eye, it says in the Song of Solomon. He's undone by us just paying attention or focusing on him. Just eye to eye, or as Latimer, our painter Latimer would say, nostril to nostril. That you like can smell each other's breath. I don't know, but I used to, before she ever said that, the first thought that came to me when I first heard her ever share that, I thought about when my littles were little and they were little babies and you can just smell their sweet breath when they're sleeping. Do you know what I mean? You know, they just have a smell. But even their breath, like when they were breathing, you just smell their breath. And I would inhale their exhale. I used to do that sometimes just because they were just so precious, you know. And that's how the Father feels about us. But I also love that he keeps saying that the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God and all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known today to who? It actually, if you'd pause right there, you'd think, like, to the world. Well, yeah. But it actually says, to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. What? Y'all get that? Like, what do you think about that? Let me read the verse again. Come on, you can't. Here's the thing. Sometimes we read the Bible and we just read it over and we don't stop and pause like, wait, what? What did that just say? What did that just say? I'm going to read verse 9 again right before it. Also, to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men, of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God who created all things by Christ Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers, authorities, principalities, and powers in the heavenly sphere. I don't know if that gets you like it gets me. What are you hearing? What are you hearing that? I'm asking now. Anybody got feedback?
Well, go ahead. The church is the bride of Christ, and I think we're sort of an example to the angels of God's plan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I also think of the church in the Old Testament, I mean, in the Christian time, we're a Christian. And I think what we have today among the church is a building, and there's a lot of non-Christians that go inside a church, and maybe that's why, you know, we get all confused with the meaning of the church.
Okay, and it could be the definition of the church maybe being a little bit different, but you're right. We got to think of it back in their language. Like, why did Paul use the word church? What did he mean? He didn't mean a building. He didn't mean churchianity. He meant people of the way. You know, even being called a Christian was actually not a good thing. Kind of like now in some circles. No, I'm serious. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I know this about the Methodists. I came out, you know, recently, my last church was a Methodist church, and the Methodist, that word was actually not a good word. It was actually a slanderous word. It was how people made fun of the Methodists. You hear what I'm saying? Or even the Baptists, like some of the actual denominational language that we have was actually like a negative word. So Christian, to be called Christian, even though it means a little anointed one, okay, it was also seen somewhat slanderous in history, but as it is now in some circles. But you're right, the church was meant the people of the way. But that's what he meant, though, and that's what I mean. I don't call the church the building, and I'm not calling the church the service on Sunday morning. The church is you, the people. You, the body of Christ. And it makes it really clear in here in a couple of other verses that I'm not going to take the time to find, but feel free to soak in chapter 3 of Ephesians a little bit. But listen, what is it saying? It's saying that his purpose, part of God's plan, okay, there is some revelation that had never been revealed until now, he said. Until Christ had come. Until the impartation of the Holy Spirit into all men. Okay, why? Because he said it. He said, the Holy Spirit that is within you, right? That same, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory, verse 16, to be strengthened and reinforced with his mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. I love that that word is added. Not just your innermost being, but through your personality. That's where, kind of like, remember our redemptive gifts teaching, you don't get to wear your sun and go, just deal with it, this is how I am. Like you are being transformed into the very image of Christ himself, right? So until you look, breathe, smell, and act like Jesus and do what he did 100% of the time, you got work to do. You know what I'm saying? Well, he has work to do. Forgive me. I'm going to rephrase that on purpose. I got to catch that. I got to catch my language. Listen, he's not working on any of your negatives because he already killed that on the cross, right? Remember that? He's working on everything that he says that you are. You are becoming someone. You're becoming Christ. You're being developed into him, and that's what he's focused on. We tend to get focused on the other. Why? Because that knowledge of good and evil thing. Okay? Now, I'm really serious about this. When we close tonight, we're going to pray to repent from having ever eaten from that tree. It's really important. Now, I'm just going to share this one little story because I feel like I'm supposed to just now. A missionary told me this story about Up when we were in, I was on a trip to Thailand up in Om Koi, which is, and further north from there, actually, it's really, really far north near the border. And I'm talking out in the bush, okay? Out in the bush where there isn't hardly anything. And the Spirit has been moving so much through these tribal people. They're getting up at 4 o'clock every morning to pray and to worship. And who's leading the way? But the children. It's the children. They have a school there. And so the kids, before school, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm talking as young as 5 years old, are getting up and they're having encounters. They're having encounters with heaven. They're having encounters with angels. They're going into heaven, and they're having these experiences. And it reminds me very much like Heidi and Roland Baker, you know, of Iris Ministries. Roland, her husband, his father, grandfather? Father, grandfather. I don't remember. But was also a missionary in China. And there's a book about, I can't remember the name of the book now. It just went blank. Something about the veil. Beyond the Veil, that's what it's called, Beyond the Veil, where he tells stories about how the Holy Spirit encountered this little mission school of children, and like just, they literally couldn't continue school because they're on the floor. Did you actually have it? Erica has the book. I gave this to her the other day. Visions Beyond the Veil, God's Revelation to Children of Heaven and Hail by H.A. Baker. Anyway, that's the book right there. Now that is not a coincidence. Do you see how God speaks? It's just like in our testimonies earlier today, right? Just the littlest of things. He's so intentional. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm preaching the right message, right? So, but my point is it reminded me of that, and they were kind of making that comparison, and we're like, what? So we had heard all about that going on. Let me back up. The trip was just supposed to be, first we were in Bangkok for a while, and then we're supposed to go to Chiang Mai, do conferences in each of those. And then we weren't really sure if we were going to be able to go to the north because of time. A lot of things had shifted with plane flights and so forth, because that was the very week, or the second week anyway, that was the very season when the tsunami hit Japan. We were over there. And so all the flights had been changed and rearranged. So we were trying to, and that's another weird thing. Okay, Lord, I'm going to put a bookmark in that one. But I'm sorry, I'm getting a little ADD moment. I don't know if it's Holy Spirit or if it's just me. So, but anyway, let me go back to the story. And so it reminded me of that. So we were supposed to just go to the village and do some ministry there or whatever, but they were thinking, well, maybe we won't be able to go now because of all the flights being whatever. And I'm telling you, every single person on the team were like, we're going, because it's a 3-hour drive on a van bus thing, you know, from where we were to Chiang Mai all the way up to where this little village is, because, I mean, it's like way out there. And we're like, we'd only be able to be there like an hour or two. You know, so they were thinking, not really worth the time. It's a 3-hour trip up there, and you got to do 3 hours back just to catch your plane. Well, half of us had to catch those earlier flights. And I was one of those groups, and I'm like, listen, we're going. You know, it's like, we're going with? I don't care if I miss my flight and have to pay extra. Like, we're going. So there was not a single one of us that was like, no, we're not going. Like, so we were all like, we're all in. So we're all going. So we did. We did the trip, and we were there. We were only there like 1.5 to 2 hours. But I'm telling you that it was hard floor, no carpet, right? And it was just, it's probably half the size of our church building. They had no air. They just had open windows. But they did have, for lack of a better word, cement. I'm not exactly sure how they built the church or whatever, but that's all it was literally just cement. I mean, it was just the building, you know. But for being, it was really weird, because for being out in the middle of like trees and shrub and stuff, it was like, there's a building here when there's not any other buildings around. There's like thatch type, you know, places and stuff, and then there's this church. But what was amazing is there's like, I don't know, 25 stairs to climb up into the thing, and they would all kick off their shoes on the stairs, so when you would walk up, like the whole like side of the thing was like full of shoes everywhere. And I'm like, how do you find your shoes? And you go, and it was like full. Anyway, and so we go in there, And help, Lord. Okay, I'm having these ADD moments. Okay, so I'm supposed to share with you, I feel like, that the story first. What they told us was these children were having encounters, heaven, hell, angelic stuff, and it was just the Lord was teaching them stuff in these encounters. And one of the encounters, one of the children in the school saw two or three of the other kids. It's like they all went together. I don't know how else to say, but I'm just telling you the story, and I believe it to be true. You don't have to believe me, but I believe it to be true. The kids were going together. Like, I actually had a friend whose two kids actually had a dream, and they were in one another's dream and then told about it later. And it was, you know, it wasn't just a dream. Do you know what I'm saying? But these are kids of all ages, and they were in this encounter together. And all I know is one kid saw another kid. They said that they were in paradise. They were visiting paradise. They were in the garden. And one of the kids ate from the wrong tree. That's just the language that they said. They ate from the wrong tree. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking that's the tree, but I don't know. I don't have any understanding or explanation for any of this, so sorry. No theology about this thing right here. All I'm telling you is the story. And so they ate something that they weren't supposed to eat, and when they come out of the encounter later, this kid in that encounter, the one who ate, just really was having a hard time. Was just like acting up and getting in trouble and doing all kinds of stuff or whatever. And then finally, the kid or whatever told one of the missionaries that was working with them that, hey, in this encounter, it's because they ate from the wrong thing or whatever. And so they went back into the encounter. When they went back into the encounter, that kid went to the other one, like if it was Erica, and was like, you need to spit that out. And so they went and told him, like, spit it out. You know, you need to spit it out. You weren't supposed to eat that. And so the person spit it out in the dream or encounter, and then when they all woke up and came to, like, things were fine. So I don't understand that. I'm just telling you the story as it was told to me, and I believe it to be true, because when we left, they had a stage. Here's what's crazy. I'm telling you, it's like, I got to bring my pictures of this place. I will. I promise. I'll bring them. And they had a stage like this. They had full band equipment, electric guitars, and I'm telling you, it was really weird. And we sang How Great Thou Art in Thai, and it was amazing. And anyway, but these kids, they had the guys on one side, and they all sat down on the floor, and some of them had like little, almost like placemat kind of little, they weren't pillows, they were like little placemat things. They were all on the floor, crisscross applesauce, you know. The young ones at the front, all the way to the old ones in the back, okay? And then the girls were all on this side. And our team had to leave, so we weren't even able to eat lunch. Like, we were just, like, we had to go. Like, that was it. We sacrificed lunch, too, because there was just no way we'd stop somewhere on the way, 3-hour trip. But everybody else was about to go down the hill to their little pavilion where they were having a cookout, and they were going to do another session in the afternoon and stuff, and all we could do was the morning. So there's probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 of us. And so the church leader or whatever there asked if everyone would stand and pray for us. And y'all, all I'm going to say is we were just like this. We were standing like this, but you could feel like when they were praying, their hands were extended, every single one of them, including the 5-year-olds in the front, and like their faces, they were like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it was just like they were, it was not, Lord Jesus, bless them. Like, it wasn't that way at all. It was like wholehearted, passionate. I mean, it was just like from the minute they said go, and it was just like shabba-dabba-dabba, and they were praying, and I don't know if they were speaking in tongues or if they were speaking Thai, because I don't speak Thai. So all I know is that they were praying, and all we could do was go, oh, like, and we're leaning back against the wall, because it's like, holy cow, like, oh my gosh, like you just felt wave after wave after wave, and it was just the most powerful. It's like, I don't know what happened, but that's why I went. I went for that little prayer. But I'm telling you, there's such hunger, and I feel like with this whole chapter is an invitation for God to say, listen, you have power. And here it is. I'm looking for the verse. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you're built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus. Listen, when he bows his knees, it's like you're undone when you're on your knees. Like, you can't stand anymore when you're undone. And he says, before the Father of our Lord, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling in your innermost being and in personality. May Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and found securely on love, that you may have power and be strong to what? To apprehend and grasp. That means tightly, not letting go. With all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love is what he's talking about. That you may grasp the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth of it, that you may really come to know, here it is, practically through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being unto the fullness of God. You're supposed to be filled unto the fullness of God. Guess what? You are filled unto the fullness of God and continually being filled. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence. There's that capital P. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Y'all, that's the Father's plan for the bride of Christ. For us individually and corporately. And then he praises him. Now to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. There's a verse, I was trying to find it earlier, it kept coming to mind. I'm gonna go to Numbers. Actually, two verses. Let's see. Caleb has been on my heart lately. Y'all know Caleb? Joshua and Caleb were the two of all the spies that were sent out. They were the two that came back with faith that said, we can take them. Okay? In Numbers 14:24, the Lord was, Moses was pleading for the people because of all of the stuff that had gone on in the desert, you know, and the Lord basically says, yeah, they're not entering in, okay? They're just going to have to die away in the desert. And so the Lord was rebuking those people. And he says, surely all of them, you know, they didn't listen to my voice, so they're not going to see the land that I swore to them. But my servant Caleb, verse 24, 14:24 in Numbers. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. In Numbers 32:12, again, Lord was talking about, you know, the land. And he was saying in verse 11, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt 20 years and older aren't going to see the land. But verse 12, except Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly followed. And I guess what I hear, what I sense in my spirit and what I hear is that to receive the revelation, and we talk about it all the time, like who are we in the Lord? What's our identity, our purpose? You know, this, I mean, that was just it. That's it. That's everything. And we get so distracted by the stuff, right? And I guess I just wanted to encourage you with the goodness of God, because he has already done it. He already did it. It's just us coming to realize that that's the plan. It's been the plan. It is the plan. It will always be the plan of the heart of the Father, is for us to fully display by faith, if we dare to have the boldness, without fear, with unreserved approach to God, with freedom and without fear, it says in verse 12, back in Ephesians 3, that we not lose heart. That we're able to display the glory of the Lord in such a way that all of the angels in heaven are watching us. I don't know if that wrecks you a little bit. It wrecks me. I mean, like, I keep thinking about, like, the seraphim and the cherubim and around the throne room of God in Revelation 4 and, you know, in the sea of glass, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. And you've got, you know, the creatures and, you know, and the angels with the eyes all around. Why? Because they're ever seeing and ever getting revelation. And they're saying, holy, 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 because it's like, they get a glimpse of something and they go, holy. And then they get another revelation and they go, holy. And they get another revelation and they go, holy. So they're like, they're constantly getting revelation of who God is, that they are constantly going, holy, holy, like holy. Like they're just constantly in worship at the waves of revelation, right? That the Lord gets, just like, but that there's revelation that will only be released through us, that the angels in heaven are watching. You know, somewhere else in Scripture, I was trying to find that verse too, that Paul talks about, well, don't you know that you're going to judge even angels one day? I'm like, what? It's another one of those verses that's like, what? Scratch my head. I don't understand. But it's in there. I just couldn't find it. I'll try to find it. Do what? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There you go. Thank you. But, I mean, that just wrecks me. So I just want to encourage you, because I know that there are seasons, times in, because of how we are and who we are and what we do and our humanness and the encounters that we have with people, you know, circumstances, like it is so vitally important. Hear me. I know that you all know this in terms of knowledge, like information. I know that you know, like God's good. If I said, is God good? You'd be like, yes. You wouldn't disagree with me. I know that. But in the hardest season, facing the most difficult challenge, when you've done everything you know how to do, you've done everything quote-unquote right, you've prayed every prayer, you broke off every curse and did every inner healing model you possibly can think of, and yet stuff still isn't perfect. And the people around you aren't perfect. Can you then, number one, declare God is good all the time. There is no evil in him. Can you know that you know that? Not by just information, but by revelation. In that moment, can you know that? In that moment when someone's chewing your head off. Holy sandpaper people, as I call them, right? When you have no idea how the bills are going to get paid. You know, when you are praying, we have so many people in our prayer list right now, I was going over it the other day, that are struggling with sickness and disease and cancer, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of cancer. You know, I'm sick of it. And I don't get it. I don't understand why they don't just go, boom, healed, come on. Come on, Lord, just whoosh, you know. Like Peter's shadow, remember last week? Let Peter's shadow just go heal everybody. I don't get it. I don't understand everything. But I know that he's good all the time. There is no evil in him. And that it's already finished. This is in accordance, verse 11, this is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose. It's timeless. Purpose. So we tend to think of purpose as doing something, walking it out, and then seeing a result. We're very results-oriented people, okay? We want the action and the results, like, manifest. But he's timeless. In accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose, which he has realized, past tense, which has been realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. It's already done. It is already done. In whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So I ask you to not lose heart. That you may really come to know the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, that you may be, and also, that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers. I guess our prayers have levels. I'm just saying, it's in there. It's his highest. I don't know. Do you, anybody pray popcorn prayers? Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we say, I mean, I do. I'll confess it. Sometimes there's just popcorn prayers because before I forget it, I better stop right now and just pray. Okay, Jesus, that they just showed up. That's why I tell people, let's just pray now. Like if you're going to tell me, hey, could you pray for me? All right, let's do it now because I'll probably forget 10 minutes from now. Do you know what I mean? Let's just pray now. Highest prayers. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or even dreams. I just want to encourage you. God is who he says he is. Do you remember that shield of faith? God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. I am who God says that I am. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And God's word is alive and active in me. And I am believing God. Amen, amen, and hallelujah. All right. We're going to pray. Because I really feel like we're supposed to repent from eating of the knowledge of good and evil. And I feel like we're supposed to eat from the tree of life, whatever that means. Because when they did that, the Lord had to place an angel with a flaming sword in front of it, because had they eaten from the knowledge of the tree of life, after they had eaten the knowledge of good and evil, it would have been made permanent. So he had, in his goodness, his kindness, and his mercy, he had to keep Adam and Eve away from it at that moment. But if you look in Revelation, remember the seven letters in Revelation, after one of the letters it says, but to he who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life in paradise. That's good stuff. All right, so let's pray. Father, you are so good. And Lord, I pray, God, that not just be a phrase in our mouth, Lord, but not just knowledge, Lord, but an encounter, a revelation of your goodness. God, I ask that you just help us to continue, Lord, as we even share testimonies, as we hear testimonies, Lord, that we pay attention to what we think is so little. God, that you would love Christine enough to give her cabinet space with granite tops on it. Like, you're like granite, Jesus. I mean, that's amazing. That you care about those things. You care about the smallest things in our life. And you care about the heaviest burdens. You care. You are so good. Lord, help us to remember the Lord, our God, who brought us out of Egypt, who brought us out of slavery. Help us to remember the things you've done. God, spur in our hearts, Holy Spirit, to record as we write down the goodness of God, as we write down the things that you have done, even the smallest of things, that when we are in those pit places, we immediately call forth to mind, but God did that, and God did that, and I remember when God did that, and I remember that encounter, and I remember that testimony, and I remember you. You are good. I don't understand. I'm not called to understand all things. I'm just called to believe you. But you've also called me to be an overcomer. You've called us to be overcomers. You've said we are overcomers, already realized in Christ. It's already been realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus. It's already been done. It is finished, Jesus said. So, Father, we come before you right now and declare you are good. And we repent right now from ever eating via our mother and father and Adam and Eve on down through every generational line, from them to us, every moment of our lives, that we ate from the knowledge of good and evil, that we acted out from that fruit. Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, now to help us. We right now just spit out that fruit. And I know it sounds silly, but spit. We spit it out, God. Lord, we ask you to send away the spirit of judgment, that religious spirit, Lord, the spirit of comparison and competition, that orphaned spirit, God, the spirit of fear, the spirit of heaviness that causes depression, all the stuff that's tied to that knowledge of good and evil. God, we ask you to drive away all of those things that have come as a part of a judgment because of those things on us because of that. God, anything that we've partaken in, Lord, I just ask right now, we plead the blood of Jesus to cleanse it all. Right now, we just renounce and rebuke it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that you said to he who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Lord, I thank you that when we said yes to Jesus, we partook of the tree of life. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And so we eat of you. We taste and see that you are good. We taste and see that you are good. God, help us to taste and see. We eat from the tree of life, God. We eat from this word that you have proclaimed over us tonight, Lord, as we have feasted on this chapter, as we feasted on your word. God, would you just make it abundant within us? God bless you. Make it abundant in us. Super abundant. God, that was your word in the Bible. I'm going to start using that. Super abundantly more. Thank you, God. And just prophetically, I just, for myself, I just swallowed. So I was like, taste and see that he's good. Oh, so good, God. Lord, we just ask for, right now, I just feel his presence. So Holy Spirit, come and just, Lord, we ask for new wine. Lord, make us new wineskins to carry new wine. We drink of you. We eat of the bread of life. We thank you, Lord. You've given us eternal manna. Lord, I ask that that you just stir up within us right now, God, just an overflow of this message, Lord, that you would let it sit and stir in us and in our spirits this week. That you help us to recognize those moments that regardless of the feeling and regardless of the circumstances, that your timeless purpose for us is to be full of you. So Lord, would you help us to just push the pause button and taste and see that you're good and declare your goodness and begin to see it, to declare it, to prophesy it, to thank you for it before it ever manifests. Lord, would you lead us in that? Teach us how, God. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We love you. We love you. Thank you, God. Thank you. And all his people said, amen and amen.